I want you to turn to some of the most powerful verses in the Old Testament that I have ever read. And if you look at Isaiah chapter 28, God is so good to us.
Yes.
To put things in perspective of our life. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and vanisheth away. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Those all have been preached over and over and over. But I'm going to tell you right now, we cannot measure how good God is. You cannot put into words. Can't preach it enough. Can't talk about it enough. I don't care if times are bad, he is good. And I know that, oh, Brother Bill brought a great message this morning in Sunday school talking about loving the Lord more. And I fall so short of that. I know you do too. I know that the Bible says, if you love me, why don't you do the things that I say? And I'm going to be honest with you. As I looked at these verses, God is so good. These are verses that we've learned back in Bible class when preacher was teaching us. And I read the rest of them with it, and I'm going to tell you, God has done some things for us that we could never, ever, ever get over. If you can get over them, I feel bad for you. I want you to read with me as we stand together, Isaiah chapter 28, we're going to start in verse 14. Preachers taught us in Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 10, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little, and that they might go and fall backwards and be broken and snared and taken. Listen to this now. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem, because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death. Can you imagine somebody making that statement, that we have made a covenant with death? And with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. I'm going to pray right here because I'm going to get excited about those two verses before I ever get into the other ones. There may not be a point at all tonight in any of this message. I may just lose my voice over this. But let me explain something to you, folks. Quit being sad about being a Christian. Because God's done some things for you you'll never get over. You'll never get over. Brother Bobby Shell, could you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so very much for coming back tonight. What a good day we had this morning. Preacher brought a great message. I wish he was here for that. I know that there's some folks out sick. Make sure you pray for Brother Mike Sells. He's not feeling very well right now. So make sure you pray for him. Pray for Miss Opal Jones. It was good to see Brother Rivers here today. He's been by our side every day since she got sick. But make sure you pray for them as well. And we need to hold each other up. I'm going to tell you, things have been going well. That's what frightens me to death. Things have been going well, and people always seem to get in the way of things going well. We always seem to want to put ourselves in, plug ourselves in. But to be real honest with you, it's not you that's doing it at all. It's God that's doing it through you, and you should be thanking him all along the way. It has nothing to do with tonight, but apparently you must have needed it. As we look at these verses and we learned, and when you're studying the Bible, you must understand something, that the Bible's not going to be learned in a day. You're not going to read through it one time and oh, I've got everything handled, although some of us feel that way, and I've even heard people say that. Well, I read through it. I know the answer. But I'm going to be honest with you. The Bible is learned very slowly. The Bible is learned very deliberately. The Bible says that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, not that seek Him for a minute, not that seek Him for a day, but seek Him for the rest of their lives diligently. I want to see Jesus. I'm going to tell you right now, if you want to see Him, it's going to take a little bit of looking to get Him. You're going to have to go after it. You're going to have to study. And that's not that Jesus isn't there, but our eyes are dim to it. We were not just going to see that. We're not going to become so wonderfully spiritual and magnanimous in our own selves in 24 hours that we're going to meet Jesus someday. We're not Jerry Falwell. That's the guy that did that. We're not him. Okay, we're not going to meet with him like Joel Osteen, who face shone every time he's on TV. I'll be honest with you, he puts on white makeup just to make himself look more pasty. Okay, but I'm going to be honest with you this. If you want to search out the Lord, if you want to see Him, it's going to take getting in His Bible. It's going to take getting in prayer. It's going to take getting out of yourself. It's going to take getting you out of yourself and realizing that Jesus Christ wants to use you, and you're going to have to allow Him to do that. Look at what this says here. But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept. They taught them slowly. They taught them deliberately, upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little, there a little, that they might go and fall backwards and be broken and snared and taken. Well, Brother Dave, there's been times in my life when I've gone backwards. There's been times in my life when I've been snared. If you'd be honest, everybody in this room at one time or another has fallen backwards. Let me ask you about your Bible calendars tonight. Huh? Let me ask you about, no, and I'm not hammering on you. I had to catch up this last week myself. Hey, I'm just putting it out there. Those are hard. I told you they were hard. You come to me, whoa, man, I'm so excited about reading my Bible calendar. Glory to God, hallelujah, amen. I've never read this many. Oh, man, glory to God, hallelujah. I don't hear one person mention them anymore. Unless they're cussing me. I'm going to tell you, it's difficult. Well, Christianity, becoming one is easy. Staying one, easy. Being one, hard. He paid for the other two. Amen? We teach you here slowly, deliberately, one thing at a time. We don't, and by the way, Christian, let me help you out. You see a younger Christian, get off their back. The Bible teaches us the stronger ones, if we can call. I don't consider myself an ultra-strong Christian. If you do, glory to God, I'll get off the steroids. I don't consider myself that way. But what I do is this. I see somebody weaker, and I remember who I was. See, what happens in our lives, we forget who we were. And so we jump on them and say, glory to God, I saw that person got saved 2 weeks ago drinking a beer. And you can't wait to kick them out the door. I'm going to tell you right now, being a Christian takes a while. None of this has anything to do with the message. But wait a minute. And I want you to want people to get better. I want you to want people to get holier. I want you to want to get holier. Holiness preaching is good. You ought to want to not sin. You ought to want to not be in the homosexual crowd. You ought to want to not be in the pornography crowd. You ought to want to not be in all those places. You ought to want to not be. And by the way, you ought to start living a life where you're not. Just a thought. You should throw away your R-rated movies. That went over like a lead balloon. I got 3 amens out of the whole crowd. Why? Because R-rated anymore is like triple X-rated. How many cuss words does it take? 75 cuss words later, I think it's about time we turn this off, honey. Line upon line. And I don't expect you to do that right away. It took me a long time to get the conviction enough. You say, that's stupid. You're a preacher. Yeah, preachers move slower than most. Hey, whatever. We're sinners. But understand this. I did get rid of them. And I don't want them anymore. Let me show you this. Here a little, there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men, that rule this people, which is in Jerusalem. I was talking to somebody the other day. And matter of fact, just this morning, I've had this discussion with folks. I've had this discussion myself. We are becoming outcast. The whole world's reversed. right now. It's upside down. Christians are good people. We're being treated like the bastards of the world, if I can use that term. Okay? How dare you tell me I ought not? How dare I tell you you ought not? How dare this? How dare this? How dare this? You ought to accept the alternative lifestyle of the homosexual crowd. Let me help you out a little bit. Nobody has more angst against that than I do. You can tell me whatever you want to. You come and talk to me, I'll tell you why I have such an angst against that crowd. But it's not against the people. It's against the sin that destroys the life of those people. See, I'm not much for the Pope and the Catholic, but understand this. The Pope is giving a speech to these sodomites in the middle of him not condoning their lifestyle. They start tearing their shirts off, women. So the answer to something you don't like is to get naked. No, that's the mentality. That's the sinfulness. That's the Romans 1 description. Let me help you out a little bit. Instead of saying, I think it's bad, say God thinks it's bad. God's the one that taught me it was bad. Read Romans. He calls it an abomination. He doesn't call it okay. He doesn't call it we should hope and accept it. He doesn't say that we should start marrying their couples. He doesn't start saying we should start accepting them in. I don't want anything to do with those people. You're homophobic. You ain't kidding. But because you'd like to be in the world, ye scornful people, you're willing to let that go. Doesn't affect your life. It does affect your life. Look at this now. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death. We don't believe you. This is what this is saying. We don't believe what you're telling us. We don't believe that Jesus saved. We've made a covenant. We're okay with it. Think about this now. And with hell, are we in agreement? I would just about venture a guess that 80% of the people of the whole wide world don't believe there is a hell. Can I ask you a question? Just because 80% of the people don't believe it, does that make it true? There's a hell, folks. It really burns. It really enlarges itself every single minute. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, okay, you say Jesus is coming, you say this big judgment is coming, when the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. We're above this. Obama told us so. Oh, you brought out the president. Let me explain something to you. This president doesn't like you at all. This president wants to stir up as much against the Christian crowd as he possibly can. Go ahead, vote for the clown. Put him in there. He's not, by the way, don't be surprised if he never gets out. Law means nothing to him. Why does law mean anything? I hope this is being taped. Law means nothing to him. He's going to try every single step of the way to make sure he stays in. And by the way, we're so stupid in America today, we're going to go ahead and let him have it. Putting in your medical. Because everybody wants me. I just want a job. I want my people to be able to work without getting killed. I was just told the other day, Acme now, because of Obama helping us, loving us, giving us hope. Now they've cut all their employees back down to 32 hours. You want me to tell you why? Because of 33 hours, you have to have insurance offered to you. We are the greatest people in the whole wide world at finding loopholes. We're going to find them. Acme's not going to pay insurance if they don't have to. No, neither is everybody else. So now what happens? Now they need money. Now they need assistance. Who's there? Huh? I don't know why you're getting so political. I thought you were going to be happy tonight. I am being happy. I'm happy to tell you the truth. But that has nothing to do with what I'm preaching on tonight. Look at this now. With hell we are in agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies. We have made lies our refuge. How good of a refuge could lies be? We've got shows advertised now where their whole life is a lie, and they act like it's great. And by the way, you look at me, well, church is full of hypocrites. I understand that. We are. We're hypocritical people. We preach one thing and sometimes do another. I understand that, but so do you. But here's the whole point. The point is, I don't want to live that lie. I don't want to make lies my refuge. I don't want to have to come. See, I believe what I preach to you. I believe this is truth. I believe that God has told me what He's told me through this book, and I believe that God is telling me the truth. By the truth, tell it not. God who cannot change. God who cannot lie. I like God's way. I like His truth. And that's what I want. I don't want the refuge of lies where people tell me there is no God. That's a lie. I don't like the people tell me there is no hell. That's a lie. Charles Taze Russell and all the rest can have them all. But I've heard people say to me, well, all religions are doing the same thing. We're all going to end up in the same place. That's a lie. You may all end up in the same place called hell, but you're not going to end up in heaven because Jesus Christ is the only way to get there. They've made this refuge of lies. They've made this place that they can stay. And if you don't think that we're living that life today in America, where they will allow the Muslim crowd to block the streets for hours while people pray to a mosque. But if you're a Christian and you go soul winning out in New York, you're going to jail. A refuge of lies. Well, we can't go against the Muslim crowd. Let me tell you something. Allah is not God. Boy, I'm hitting on everybody tonight. Glory to God, I'm feeling ornery. I didn't get a nap. That was the problem. I'd have been much sweeter if I could have slept for a little while. Let me tell you something. Muslim religion, just because it's so big and just because it's growing so fast, just because there's so many of them, does not make it truth. Allah is not God. It's not another word for God. It's not another thing for God. There's only one God. That's God the Father. And they don't believe that Jesus Christ is anything but a prophet. But what's funny is they do believe in Jesus Christ. But only that He's a teacher. Below Muhammad. Well, I don't know. Let's compare the two. Muhammad's dead. But this is simple. Muhammad's dead. Jesus Christ is not. I don't know. I'll stick with the guy that's alive. Amen. Praise the Lord. They've made this their tent, this refuge, lies, certain going to crumble around them, certainly going to leave them in the lurch, and eventually it'll go around them and they won't be able to stand anymore. We have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Look at this now. God is so good. If you were God, what would you do with this people? Huh? Think about Austin. You're a good kid. Man, I love you, kiddo. If you were God, what would you do with you? You need to make this personal, folks. I deserve to be saved. It's a good thing God saw me. He knew what He was getting. Let me tell you something. He did know what He was getting. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. None righteous, no, not one. In your flesh dwelleth how many good things? So understand this. When He looks down, what do you think you would do with you? If it was me and I was God, I would have never made it. Come on now. Refuge of lies, falsehoods, after they've had the Word of God, precept upon precept, line upon line. What would God do with those people? If you were God, what would you? If you were God, you'd do that to your favorite football team when they lose. And that's somebody you like. What would you do to people that hate you? What would you do with them? What would you do if you were God and you had the opportunity? And you're always right. Be very careful how close you think you are with God. Be careful how much you think you deserve your salvation. Look at this now. What would God do, though? See, it's not my answer. It is God's answer. What would God do? I have a feeling I know what I would do, but what would God do? Because understand this. In the moment in time that we played the football game, and my son was playing football, and this ginormous man who was 10 Hey, whatever. He was huge. I wouldn't have wanted to block him all game. The angst I felt. It was just a game. Over him hurting my son. Stay with me now. Stay with me. How would you feel if somebody hurt your son? You got a whole litter of them right there. How would you feel if they hurt the big boy at the end? Huh? How would you feel if they hurt your son, Jimmy, Brother Bob? How would you feel if they went ahead and took your child and they hit him? How would you feel? How would you feel if he taught you the right way, taught you the good way, and then they took your son and hurt him? How would you feel if you were God? I wonder what God should do. If I was God, you'd be dead. If I was God, I would not offer my son for you. I would not offer my son to you. You wouldn't touch him with one of your hands. If it was up to me, I'd squash you like a bug. It ain't up to me. I wonder what God would do. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion. This, if you could just read this and have it preached to you. I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the lion, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. Look at this. Oh, this is so good. And your covenant, number one, your covenant with death shall be disannulled. Glory to God, when I decided 11 years old in front of an old green register, when I decided at 11 years old that I was going to make heaven my home, I had a man named Ron Brown look a lot like Mike Porter. He stood there in Sunday school in Super Church, just a young man, 11 years old. He says, man, you ought not go to hell. You're right, I think I ought not. I'm 11, I'm still simple. You're right, I don't think I should. And I came forward and I got saved because the deal that I had with death has been disannulled. I didn't break the covenant. God did. God says, I know this is what you want. This is not what I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you one more shot at it. And I know this is dealing with Israel. But understand this. Don't you think for one minute that your salvation is anything that you did. How good is God? How good is God that we've got this deal with death made? The wages of sin is death. The minute that we're born, we're sinners. And I know we're safe for a while. But understand this. When you come to the knowledge of sin and you come to the knowledge of right and wrong, God, you've got a deal with death made. But thank God, thanks be to Jesus Christ that he looked down, he saw your sinful soul and decided, I'm going to offer my son to disannul that deal that you've got with death. Wait a minute. I'm just talking about death here. Wait a minute. In Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You've busted that death covenant. Oh, I'm not saying you won't have pain. But let me tell you something. When you close your, if you're saved in here, let me tell you, if you're not saved, you've still got that agreement. You still have that covenant with death. That death is forever. For us, death is a beginning. Us that are saved, us that know Christ, even if you died, it's just a beginning. How good is God to you? How good is God when throughout the week, he holds your salvation. He's so good to us. Throughout the week, you made mistakes. Throughout the week, you did things you ought not. For throughout the week, you said things that you ought not. You thought things that you ought not. Maybe even did things that you ought not. And throughout the whole week, God still says, no, no, I've done away with that. And I'm not an Indian giver. I'm not somebody who's going to change that. I'm not somebody who's going to take back what I've already done. Oh, no, I've already disannulled that thing with death. I've already made it so you can come to heaven to be with me. No matter what. It's one of the most difficult things to believe for a Christian. That your sins are paid for. God is so good. Look at this now. Your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. I had the joyous opportunity yesterday morning to lead Timothy to the Lord. Thank God for a mama that cares. Thank God for a mama. She didn't know what else to do. But God knew. God knew. God knows what to do. God's already taken care of it. Thank God that the call came in and I answered the phone call. She said, I don't know what to do. Can we come meet with you? Glory to God. A little while later, Tim's accepting the Lord as a Savior. See what happened? Death has been disannulled. Your agreement that you had with hell has been taken away. You've got a new agreement now. Now, wait a minute. You say, well, yep, bless God, I'm going to heaven. Yep, bless God. Well, let me tell you, you better get a little happier about the fact that you're going to heaven. You better get a little happier about the fact you're not going to hell. I tell you what, if you realized you were going to heaven and you weren't going to hell, you wouldn't care what color the bus was. If you realize that you're going to heaven and you're not going to hell, you wouldn't care about how long the preacher preached. Help me now. I'm going to tell you right now, if you believed what you're saying you believe, if you love God that much, I guarantee you're going to forget all about where the money goes. And by the way, the people that think about where the money goes are the people that don't put in a cent. Put that in your monkey grinder. I'm going to tell you right now, if you would love God and realize that you're going to heaven and not going to hell, you would do the things that God wants you to do and not worry about what others are doing. But so often we say, if it ain't my way, it ain't going to get done. I thought you were going to be nice in a minute, preacher. Let me tell you something. We're all fighting the same battle. We just want to see people get saved. Did I ask you to do anything? Sir, did I ask you to do anything for me other than read your Bible and pray? Did I ask you to start doing cartwheels? Did I ask you to clean up your life? No, I didn't ask you to do any of those things because that's business that you'll do with Christ. And by the way, if he keeps on coming, glory to God. I'm going to tell you right now, we get to the point in our life where we get so caught up in the simple fact that God has done all the work. And we say, well, God, I'm going to tell you, your preacher, he's wearing a suit. And I think every preacher ought to wear a suit. I think you ought to wear a suit and tie, but not because of what you want. Because I think that's what God would want. Huh? We get so caught up in what other people are doing, we mess up with what we're doing. Huh? What has God done for a sinner? What has God done for a sinner? If you've accepted Christ, you have no fear of hell. It is still real, and it is still burning hot, and many people are going there. But you don't have to fear because God's taken that away. That's where you deserve to be. You deserve to go there because of your sin, but God has taken that away. He says, the agreement with hell shall not stand. The devil has every right to sit up there and accuse us of being stupid. He's got every right to say, well, Pastor Dave's an idiot. God said, I know. But I love him. He ought to go to hell. I know, but I love him. Do you see what he just did there? I know, but I still love him. He ought to go to hell. What about that bad thing he did? Certainly that's bad enough. It is bad enough, but my son is so much better. My sacrifice is so much better. Devil, you have no longer any hold on him. That place called hell where you're going to end up, he'll never go there. And I'm so excited to know that the disannulled covenant with death. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 with me. I know this might be boring to you, but I get excited about what God has done for me. I get excited about what God has done for me because I know how little I deserve. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Glory to God, hallelujah. I need a new body. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? You got to understand something. That battle's already been won. Even for you Cleveland Browns fans, that's a game you never have to play. You've already won. Glory to God, hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, we're not going to have to face death. Oh, we're going to die unless the Lord comes back. But he's going to take us through that. Aren't you glad? Oh, we may have to face the pains of this world, but God is so much better. He's broken that bondage. That mystery is such an odd thing. There is another side, because we do have that agreement with hell until we get saved. In Luke chapter 16, talks about that man being in torments. And in hell, not Sheol. I love how they go Greek right there. They never call heaven Ouranos, because that is Greek for heaven. But they sure call hell Sheol. I almost smacked my son for saying Sheol one day. But I'm going to tell you right now, hell is hell. It is real and it really burns. Look at this now. Turn over to back to Isaiah chapter 28. In Isaiah chapter 28. Let's look at, let's just keep reading. It's all good. Verse 19, from the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you, for morning by morning shall it pass over, by day and by night, and it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. You know what vexes me? Is the report of how this world's going. This is speaking of what you find out. I'm going to tell you, you go back 30 years, now it's 40, 50 years now, where the Andy Griffith Show was the number one show. Yeah. You know, Dr. Hiles talking about that. That was the number one show. Preachers, and I know they shouldn't be, but preachers were looked at with respect. Today were punchlines. Where you would hold up the man of God. And by the way, I'm not just talking about independent fundamental Baptists, although those are the men of God. I'm talking about every if you were a priest, whatever. Religious places, churches were held up in reverence. Today they're spray painted on. This world we live in is not getting better, contrary to the belief of the political society of today. This world is not getting better, it's getting worse. And as we look through these things, it vexes me. I'm telling you, I can't watch the news anymore. I can't do it. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of hearing about it. I'm tired of hearing about what the world's going through, what's happening. And yes, I know a lot of it fits into prophecy, but I got to be honest with you. Should we be looking so much toward the future, or should we be looking more towards right now? There's people dying every day and going to hell, and I'm not doing a good enough job. I'm not doing a good enough job telling them about the covenant that God broke with death, agreement that God disannulled with hell. I don't tell them enough about it. Well, I know all you do. I'm excited that you've won somebody to Christ today. I'm excited that you've handed out 7 tracts today. But you know what? I got to be honest with you. I don't do enough. And it vexes me when I hear the report. It's not the report that vexes me. It's because I don't do anything about it that vexes me. I'm glad it's quiet. Look now. I'm going to end happy. Because this battle's not over. Look at this now. The bed is shorter than that a man can stretch himself on it. And the covering narrower than that he can wrap himself in it. Boy, isn't there anything more irritating than that? I got to have giant blankets and a big bed. Look at verse 21. For the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim. He shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work. Look at this now. That he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act. His strange act. The more I read, the Bible, the more I feel blessed. Please just listen for a moment. How strange it is that God does what he does. Oh, you can talk about the tragedies of this world and why would God allow that? Shake your fist at heaven. That is different, and it's not fun, not good at all. But God saved you. Isn't that strange? Isn't it strange? Isn't it strange that he sent his only begotten son? Isn't it strange? We've talked about the angels in the past, and they were always obedient. Oh, I know that there was some that went off. Don't you feel it odd or strange that the Lord never died for them? Huh? The Lord never died for one angel ever. One third of them went with the devil, followed him. One third. Innumerable host. He didn't do a thing for them. Didn't die for them. But then he looked down and saw me. I wasn't worshiping him. Wasn't obeying him. There's days I still don't obey him. He looked down and he saw me, son. He saw me. 11 years old, I get saved. Ask the Lord to come into my heart. I don't have the testimony that most preachers have. They get saved and do right. I got the testimony where I got saved and did wrong. And Miss Dye, he still looked down and said, you know what? I know. I know this is going to seem strange. I know this is going to seem odd. I know this is not going to make a lot of sense, but I'm not going to break ties with that young man. I know this is strange, and I know this work doesn't make a whole lot of sense, and I know what I'm about to do, Brother Rod, makes no sense. But you know what? I want an evangelist, and I want Rod Black to be that evangelist, and I don't care how much he messes up. I want him to be a preacher for me, so I'm going to make sure that he stays alive so he can preach for me. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't come to my mind. And I think about God, why are you helping me? Oh, you're angry at God. You're mad at him because God's not giving you money. You get angry with God because God's not fixing the prayer just like you'd like. We get mad because God doesn't give us every wish of our long list of wishes. Well, I'm going to tell you, the older I get, the more happy I am that God just stays with me. The more happy I am that God just saved me. And I know the future, preacher, the future is heaven. God's going to have to do another strange work. He's going to have to get all of us Baptists to get along. There's no sin in heaven. Good luck with that, God. Because we're all going to be there, Brother Bill. Every one of us that are saved. And if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you're going to hell. You're headed that way right now. And I know Sunday night crowd, most people, Sunday night crowd, they're saved. But I don't ever want to think that, oh, everybody's saved. Because I'm going to tell you, don't think it's because of how good you are that you're saved or how much you have to do to get saved. I love it. Well, I become a Christian, but you have to give up drinking. No, you become a Christian, you want to give up drinking. At least I have to. Are you kidding? You have to obey your mama. You want to obey the Lord. I wish that you wanted to obey your mama. Unless it's Miss Rosie. Boy, that's miserable. I'm going to tell you that right now. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Heaven awaits the Christian. And you're worried about what's going on here? There should be one thing on our minds. The one thing that should be on our minds is God's strange work. God's strange act. I've seen people face death. I've seen it. The greatest, I can't believe you're here tonight. Leslie. They called over to the senior program. Well, the senior program was going on. They weren't calling the senior program. They weren't putting in an order. They called for preacher. I was the best they could get. That shows you how good God is. Went to the hospital. Never seen anything like it. Man was thrashing. Thrashing. Scared me to death. I'm just a kid. How many years ago was that? 15? 10? 12 years? 12 years ago. Man's thrashing. He's being restrained. Thrashing. His eyes wide open, but fixed on a point. He saw his agreement. Huh? He saw his covenant getting ready to be fulfilled. We blow it off. It's real. I couldn't believe that your family left the room for me. I still to this day can't believe they left the room, because they didn't look at first like they wanted me to be there. Who wants a preacher? Especially me. He's thrashing and thrashing and thrashing. I just touched his arm. I couldn't hold on to it. He's too strong. But I touched his arm and I said, "Leslie, I believe with all my heart you can hear me. I believe I know what you're seeing, and I would be afraid too. But I know a man. That man's name is Jesus. It doesn't matter how you lived your life. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you did. It just matters what he did." I said, "Leslie," man, I still get chills thinking about it today. I said, "Leslie, if you want to ask the Lord to save you, I'm going to pray this." And I prayed it with him. I'm not kidding you. 2 seconds after the prayer, he was no longer thrashing. His eyes closed. He was at peace. I wasn't there, but I heard that he woke up the next day for just a little while. He said there was an ugly fat Baptist preacher here, and he did not. I know that I know that I know that his view changed. The Lord broke that covenant. The Lord disannulled that agreement and changed the terms. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I'm going to tell you, if you are saved today, you are the most fortunate person on the planet. It's not that Yankee that was into the microphone saying, "I'm the luckiest man." He's not. He's not. But the saved is. The redeemed. The redeemed and God's strange work. Are you seeing God's strange work? It makes no sense that he's on the cross. It makes no sense. It makes no sense that the people that he's dying for are spitting on him. What a strange work. What a strange act. It makes no sense that God, who could call down legions of angels to save him from this moment, says, "No, I've got a work to do, and it is strange. I've got an act to perform, and it is strange, but it must be done." Why? Because Dave Ballard has got to go to heaven someday. As they beat upon him and lashed him, it made no sense. If you can make sense out of his crucifixion, then you've got a sense that I don't know about. Makes no sense why he would die for Pastor Skyver. Makes no sense. There's got to be more to life than this. God should have snuffed him out years before that. Makes no sense. Makes no sense that he still has Baptist churches functioning today, as messy as we are. Makes no sense that he lets churches stand that go against the word of God. Makes no sense. Makes no sense that he allows a nation that kills babies by the millions. Makes no sense. Makes no sense that the homosexual crowd is being held. Makes no sense. Very strange. Oh, I'm glad I've got a strange God. I'm glad I got a strange God that loves me so very much that no matter what I've done, no matter what I'm doing, no matter what has been my past, no matter what's in my future, no matter what I'm doing right now, God loves me. That's a strange God. As much as you love your children, I guarantee you'd hold on to them forever and they'd always be called your children. But there's times when parents cut their children off. There's times when they have to, not God. Unconditional is only possible, I believe, with God. Even with us, we've got conditions. It's amazing to me how strange God is and how wonderful it is. I find myself complaining often. I'm glad I'm the only one. I find myself murmuring. Oh God, why is the sun so hot? Oh God, why is there no sun? Oh God, why does winter have to come? Oh God, why does school have to start? I still mean that one, God, I'll tell you. But God is so good. I know you recited this morning, Brother Bill, but could we with ink the ocean fill? Or were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill? And every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, the love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. That song we're going to get to sing is the song of the redeemed. All the angels desire to look into it, but they can't. Because God didn't die for them. What a strange work. What a strange act. Dying for sinners. Aren't you glad He did? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank You. You are so good. I don't deserve anything You give me. I really don't. Life is a battle. The daily parts of life, the everyday life is a battle. And it's difficult, Lord. Being a Christian is difficult living in this world today because they've made lives their refuge, Lord, and I believe that that refuge is probably never going to go away. But, Lord, it's not as difficult as what You've done. It's not as difficult as Your strange work. It's not as difficult as Your strange act, that act called Calvary. Not as hard as that. And Lord God, as You look down on Your people, a grumbling people, oh, it was always this way. We're content for a minute, and we are discontent for 10, it seems like. Lord God, You've looked down, and for some odd reason, I believe with all my heart that You've got this church set apart. I believe that You've told my preacher that You want to do it one more time. What a strange act that would be. What a strange work that would be. If anything, Bethel's is definitely a strange work. But Lord, we want to be the right work. We want to learn and teach precept upon precept, line upon line. Here a little, there a little. We want to do what You want us to do, so Lord, please help us. Lord God, please look down and continue to have mercy on this group of sinners that desperately wants to love You. And Lord, I believe that that's not an overstatement. I believe that this people wants to love You. Lord, please help us to learn how better. Lord, help us to go through this life with more of a focus on what we ought to be doing and not what we ought not. Lord God, please help us to realize that what You've done for us is so much greater than anything that we could ever do for You. Lord God, help us. Help us as the preacher preached this morning, as Brother Bill preached in Sunday school. Help us, God, to love You. Trying desperately to come close to how You love us. What a strange act. What a strange work. Loving the unlovely. Giving Your life for those not worthy. Lord God, I just want to thank You tonight. I don't know what else to say. Thank You. Thank You for loving us in the midst of all this insanity. Thank You for loving us.
What a strange work. What a strange act. With every head bowed and every eye closed. How many can say that they know that they know that they know 100% sure that if you died right now, that you would go right to heaven and be with the Lord? Can you raise your hands up real big and tall? If you died right now, that you would go to heaven, you may put them down. I believe everyone's hand was raised, but I'm not sure. How many would be willing to admit, you know what, I really don't know, but I sure would like to know. The Bible says you can know. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. But that's a really strange work. A really strange thing that God would allow us to have His Son. A really strange thing that God would allow us and give us that mystery. A strange thing that He would allow us to be redeemed. What a great God we serve. How many can say, you know what, I don't know, but I sure would like to know. I'm not 100% sure, but I sure would like to be. I don't know that I'm going to heaven when I die. Could you put your hand up real big and tall? Is there anyone like that in here today? Then that means I'm talking to Christians. We have a great God. We have a God that is completely and wonderfully strange. That He loves us, not in spite of who we are. I get sick and tired of hearing that. He doesn't love you in spite of who you are. He loves you because of who you are. He loves you. And I'm so thankful that He gives us the opportunity to love Him. Please, realize how great God is, what He's done for you. He has disannulled your covenant with death. He has taken down your agreement with hell and made you a redeemed. What a great God we have. Dear Jesus, I thank You so much for this day. And although I look forward so much to that eternity with You, Lord God, let me do what I'm supposed to do while I'm here. I don't do a good enough job. You're going to have to help me because I just don't do a good enough job. Lord, help me to have my mind straight and focused. Help me to do those things. Read Your Bible, pray, soul win. Help me to do those things that You'd like me to do even better. And I pray that that prayer is echoed throughout this entire building tonight. Lord God, I thank You for the opportunity to preach. Bless the invitation. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand.